Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska. As you know, I try to be here every Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I'm really happy to be back home. As you know, we like to hear from you here on KFAR Radio with questions, or if you'd like to make a comment on mining in Alaska, give us a call. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Well, let's see. What should we do first this afternoon? I suppose we should do our contest. I know that Lowell and Tom have been taking over for me lately. I don't know what kind of contest they've had, if they've had any. But this afternoon, let's see if you can't win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. You know who they are. They're your precious metals people. They're located at 208 Wendell Street right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And you might also like to know that their phone number is 456-3967, and that they have a wide variety of gold nuggets available for those who are interested in preparing that special gift for that someone special. And they also have investment coins and in gold and silver, as well as silver ingots and bars, as well as gold ingots and bars for the person who is interested in investing in precious metals. They also have something that everyone wants to know about, and that's the special quote line that will give you or provide you the prices of gold, platinum, and silver on a daily basis. That number is 452-7858, and you can get that 24 hours a day. So, once again, that's Oxford Assaying and Refining, who is sponsoring the 1 troy ounce silver ingot today. They're located at 208 Wendell Street for all of those who are interested in the precious metals. And their phone number, if you have a question and need some information, is 456-3967. Once again, folks, it's nice to be home. So, I've got a pretty new advertiser here. And for those of you who have been listening just before I left a couple of weeks ago, you know that I've had a couple of new people who are sponsoring this program. And one of them is located at 452-1751. And what I'd like to know from you, the listening audience, for you to win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot, I want to know who's located at 452-1751. I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. And let's see what you have to say about that. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Not yet. So, when you folks have that answer to that question, we'll get to rolling. But there's a couple of other things that you might like to know. In addition to that, we've got another new advertiser, and I'm going to let you guess who that is next week. So listen during the program to find out exactly who that sponsor is, and let us know here. Okay. Hello?
Yes, it's Mount McKinley Bank. They're on 3rd Avenue in Fairbanks.
Oh, well, pretty good. They're located on 3rd, between 3rd and 4th, as a matter
actually,
of fact.
Actually, right, yes.
And how about parking? You know where that's at?
Well, they have parking on the 4th Avenue side.
On the 4th Avenue
And they side. Also have some along the street on 3rd Avenue.
Uh-huh. Are you familiar with Mount McKinley's banking and so forth? Are you familiar with the fact that they still give home loans for those people who have a dream house that they want to construct?
And from what I understand, they do.
Yes. And they have some special special offerings to the public, to the people who bank with them regarding elderly benefits in terms of banking styles that are oriented towards the senior citizen.
Right, they have less service charges and things of this nature mm-hmm. for the senior citizen.
Well, and can you give us any other information about the service at Mount McKinley Bank?
Well, let's see here. They have a full line of checking and savings accounts, IRAs, things of this nature. Basic banking services. They're a hometown bank, and they've been in business quite a number of years in this area.
That's precisely what I've got here. My goodness, have you banked there?
Years ago, yes.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yes, my wife has an account there, and I have an idea that I might be starting one soon.
Okay, good.
Say, what's your name?
Frank.
Frank?
Mm-hmm.
You have a last initial, Frank.
Pi.
Okay, Frank, I'll tell you what you do. You stop up here at Washington Plaza at the KFAR studio and pick up this certificate for the silver ingot.
Okay.
And it'll be waiting at the desk. Then you take it over to Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street, and you present it, and they'll give you a silver ingot. How's that?
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, Frank, thanks for participating here.
You bet. Bye.
Hi. What's
Jim,
going on?
Good to have you back.
Thanks.
Yeah, Dave here. Jim, I've got a question here for you.
Okay. Don't make it too tough now.
Oh, no. I think it's right down your alley here. In fact, I have some of these gifts in my shop, but they're little pewter figurines that sit on a rock called P-Y-R-I-T.
Uh-huh.
And in the dictionary, it says it's a yellow mineral,
uh-huh.
also called iron, P-Y-R-I-T-E, maybe. Is that Alaskan, can you tell me? Do we find that in Alaska?
Sure. Iron pyrite.
Okay. Is that all over? I mean...
Well, it's you can find it. It's pretty common. Large crystals of it aren't especially common in every rock, but fine iron pyrite crystals do occur pretty commonly.
Yeah, they're awful pretty.
Sure. I know there's some down along the Parks Highway just before you get to the McKinley turnoff, and some of those drainages up there, the rocks are just flooded with crystals of a quarter inch to a 1 inch in diameter that are cubic and yellow. And Leah is actually the one that found those. If anybody's interested in iron pyrite crystals, they're embedded in a slate down there. So that's one source of those.
Okay. Just one more quickie. That isn't predominantly just in the North Country. Is that throughout North America?
It's throughout the world. Sure.
It's a pretty common
mineral.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's no way of really telling if this came from Alaska.
No, not at all. Chances are if it's the same samples of iron pyrite that I'm familiar with the pewter figures on it, those came from Mexico.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hi, you're on the air. I guess everybody gave up on me here. So, well, my mystery guest today is ready to go, and... his name, of course, is Cliff Hayden. Cliff, welcome to Alaska Gold Trail.
Thank you.
And Cliff, tell us a little bit. Now, you know, we've had Cliff on the radio here with us two times in the past, and we brought him up from eastern Oregon and ultimately into Alaska, and then he came up from Valdez, and he came up to Fairbanks, and he had quite a journey, and everybody enjoyed all the spectacular events that took place with Cliff during the journey to Fairbanks. Well, we got him into Fairbanks, but we don't know what happened to him after he landed in town. So what we're going to do today is we're going to find out what happened to Cliff Hayden after he landed in Fairbanks, Alaska. Cliff, how about it? Tell us a little bit about what Fairbanks was like when you arrived here.
Well, I arrived in Fairbanks June 1, 1938, and it was in the afternoon, and... I'd say about two dozen or better of us fellows were down in Valdez, and we had made a deal with the General Transportation Company here to ride in the back of an open stake bed truck. Well, you know, we had a few little problems, but all in all, it was really a nice and unusual trip, and we got into town in the... late in the afternoon, and the owner of the General Transportation Company said, "Now, we're building this Miller Apartments here, and so we got about half of the rooms, so you could go in there and roll out your bedroll, and I recommend, if you don't have friends or arrangements here, to do that for tonight, then get up in the morning and go look the town over, and so anyway, why we did that, and that evening we strolled around and we noticed all these board sidewalks and the different stores, and one thing, the town was small enough at that time, anybody new came into town, they knew you had just arrived, and it was surprising how many people came up to you and wanted to know what part of the United States you came from, and etc. And so, as I say, we got a good night's sleep. And the next morning, I went looking for some fellows I'd known down in southeastern Petersburg, where I'd spent 3 years. And so I finally found one young man that he was working for a cab company. And so he wasn't busy with his cab right then, and his boss said, go ahead and take your friend around town. Well, I didn't use up too much gas because the town wasn't that large. But he stopped along the way and made me acquainted with some charming young ladies, and I guess I looked pretty bushy to them because they still remember me, the ones that are still around. And but then the next thing, he said to this friend of mine from Petersburg, says, well, what do you plan as far as housing, or have you lined out some work before you come? And we said, no, the fellows I was traveling with is from further east, and they were a young college man, and they said, there's eight of us, including Hayden, that we're going to get something with a roof over, and then if there's a bed or two in there, why, we will draw straws to see who gets in the bed. Well, in my associations with them from when they arrived in town till September, whenever I was in town, I slept on the floor. Now, this thing, it was a fairly large old frame house of all things, and so one night we hadn't been there very long, and it came a big heavy shower, downpour of rain, and one of my buddies on the floor, he said, get up, the river's overflowed or something, there's water several inches deep on the floor. Well, I reached around, splash splash, and discovered that the roof leaked. And the center of the house, it sagged about 4 or 5 inches anyway. So that was that part of that story. But then as we went out and around town, well, we met, went into the stores, and they could tell us that we were new in town, and all of them was getting in a little pitch. Well, now if you need anything and you go out in the creeks any place, why, here, give me your name and where you came from and whatnot. And, you know, the policy is if you go out on the creek, send in with some of these pilots or the truckers for what you need. And then in the fall, why, you can pay up and we'll get a hold of you then. And we went into the NC company, and the same story there. Well, if you're going out even not too far from town and you need something, well, and that was certainly different than where I'd ever been before. And so this one fellow from Northern California that was in our group, when I started out to look town over about second day as we're around here in Fairbanks, he said, if you don't mind, I'll hike along with you. And I said, I thought you had that buddy you grew up with. Oh, he said, I grew up with him next door. And he said, I wanted to associate with someone a little different. And his name was Brenton Dipple. And so he's an unusual young man, and to be born in Northern California, why, you'd have thought he was a real outdoorsman. But he didn't happen to be. There was many things he was outstanding in, but he couldn't cook a meal for himself. Or when he went to chop a tree down, you had to watch that there wasn't something going to fall down on top of him. But we were hiking around, and I'm getting a little ahead of my story, and we're watching a man trying to repair an old house. And his name was Charlie, and we get to talking, and sure, he knew we was new in town, and he said, "Say, you lads wouldn't like to have a little work at a dollar an hour, and some days I'll have a full day, and other days not so well." We said, "Sure." He said, "Well, just I'll give you some gloves. Let's go right to work." And anyway, we came to the weekend, and he said, "I have a little homestead out on the end of Badger Road, about 8 miles from town, my cabin is." And he said, "How would you like to come out there?" He said, "I got a big old log cabin. It's a new one, and we can just, you can roll out there, bedroll." He said, "I have some bunks that for extra for friends." So out there we went Saturday night, and we met the old timers. I don't mind telling you, the old timers that were out on the end of Badger Road in that days was Jack Horn, who was a, you never meet anybody nicer than Jack. And I met a lot of nice people. You could meet some as nice, but not nicer. There was a lot of those just as nice. And Harry Badger, the Strawberry King, and he had a little friend by the name of Walter Creek, and he was fairly well stiffened up with arthritis, but he could still do a lot of work. And one thing, little Walter was very interesting to us, because that when he first came to Alaska, he went over on the Russian side of the straits up there, and he worked for a few years, and he said he was doing real good until the darn Russians found out he was there, so he had to get out quick. But then, as I say, Charlie had a cabin, and there was one other fella, a young man, that had a cabin across the slough, Badger Slough, or Pile River, whatever you want to call it, from Jack Horn's. And he was a surveyor and a photographer, and he had been doing work for the government in McKinley, as they called it in those days. So anyway, we spent the night there with Charlie, and now he's, when we got there, well, he said, "Hey, you fellas, get that old ladder there that's about 20 feet long and hold it." And we did, and here he came out. He had been to the one of the cafes downtown, and he'd gotten big chunks of bacon rind, and he goes up this tree and he takes big roofing tacks and he nails that on that darn tree. And by golly, said, "What's the idea?" "Well, just wait an hour or so. We'll go back in and have some coffee in the cabin." And pretty soon we heard a lot of growling and woofing out in that yard. You know, those darn black bears was really woofing and fighting to get up the tree to get that bacon rind. And he goes out there with his camera, and Brenton, he gets out there too, and they took some pictures. And So that was that part of that story for that day. And then we got a, Charlie said in the morning, Sunday morning, he said, when we stopped and visited Jack, we came through his place there. That is the fellow with that long cabin there I made you acquainted with. He said, I told him we'd be down for breakfast, because he said, Jack Horn can make some of the finest sourdough hotcakes, but he said, when he gets that great big kettle out there, don't pay any attention to that 2-inch thick hard, dried up lining of that pot. That sourdoughs wouldn't be too good if he cut that out of there. So, boy, we got there at the appointed time for breakfast, maybe around 7:30 or so, and here Jack had things going, and he had everything, hot cakes, all about ready to throw on, you know, and the bacon and an egg apiece. And before we got to Jack's, Charlie says, "Now, look, don't tell Jack that I nailed those bacon rinds in that tree a quarter of a mile from his house, or he'll run me out of here." Because he said, "That just, as you've seen, brings the bears in." So then, anyway, well, we had breakfast there and talked with Jack, and he said, "You boys ought to hunt some ground around here or something. Lots of it," he said. "Whether it's out at the end of the road here, there's only ground with, I think, three or four titles, you know, and get in on the first half dozen." So he did convince us that, if you don't want a homestead, I'll tell you where to get a woodcutting permit for. And, yeah, Jack said, "That would be good." He said, "That would really be a good deal, is to get a woodcutting permit." And, oh, Charlie thought a lot of that, because in the wintertime he hauled wood. And there's just a few drawbacks in the old system in that woodcutting, in as much as you cut the wood, and the top price for cutting good spruce and piling it up, and rossing it or splitting it, was $4 a cord. But then you had to take the chance that there wouldn't be a fire coming through the country. There wasn't much of the thievery, but it had to lay there a full year before that the fella cut the wood could get his money. We ended up with 54 cords in our spare time. We'd go out there and during the summer. But, so that was the situation there. And then we spent a lot of time helping Charlie and picked up quite a bit of money that way. And but we did have time off to take little trips here and there and go out and look the area over.
Well, I'd like to hear about that, and I'm sure everybody else would, Cliff, but right after these little messages.
It's wacky, it's wild, it's the Wacky Wild Kool-Aid Car Contest. And all we have to do to win the car, it's so simple. It's climb Mount McKinley in your underwear, do an Elvis impersonation in the Bear Dan, and run for governor and win.
That's not exactly true, is it?
Of course not, but it's wacky.
Well, how can you win the car?
Who knows?
Isn't it true that all you have to do is spot the car?
I guess.
That shouldn't be so tough, because it looks so
wacky. Yeah, wild paint job crazy.
It'll be making appearances at grocery stores, neighborhood special events all summer long.
Wow.
All you have to do is fill out an entry blank at the car or at a grocery store, and you could win the car. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I guess it's wacky.
There is one requirement. You must be a member of the human race to win.
Guess it counts me out, huh?
I'm afraid so.
The Kool-Aid car is here for Golden Days. Look for the entry blanks where Kool-Aid is sold. Then find a Kool-Aid car and enter to win. It's a brand new Pontiac Le Mans from Avis Car Sales with a wild paint job and free surprises. Keep listening for details.
Time's running out for Larson's Jewelers going out of business sale. Additional markdowns have been taken throughout the store on one of Fairbanks' largest inventories of diamond and colored stone jewelry. Save on diamond earrings, now only $195, saving you $275. A blue topaz with diamond pendant was $220, but is now marked down to an incredible $79. Do not miss this opportunity to save on quality jewelry that must be liquidated immediately. Stop in today to Larson's Jewelers going out of business sale, corner of 4th and Noble.
The newest sponsor to Alaska Gold Trails is Macaulay's Reprographics Incorporated, located at 721 Gaffney Road, right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Their phone number is 452-8141. Macaulay's is a supplier for surveying equipment. They also repair instruments and also rent and service these instruments. They have a complete engineering and architectural supply store, and they also supply or provide a number of services. Rebecca McCauley is the president treasurer, while Alfred Skondovich is the vice president and general manager. Some of the services that they offer are audio and visual aids, Canadian maps, blueprinting, copying service, rentals of surveying and equipment and supplies, as I mentioned before, and also a variety of other materials are available for the earth scientists, including compasses, Mylar overlays for map production, and the map producing pens and other professional type drawing materials. So once again, if you're dealing with earth sciences and mining, you might also like to know that they have the hip chains necessary for lining out the claims, and these are available, and also the thread for these chains are available at McCauley's Reprographic, located at 721 Gaffney Road. Their phone number, once again, is 452-8141. I'd like to take a minute to let all my friends here in the interior of Alaska know about the Days Inn Motel in Anchorage, Alaska. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. Some of the conveniences that you will expect to find at the Days Inn include an airport limousine, airport courtesy telephone, a 24-hour restaurant, free local calls, and get this, an exercise facility, and of course, a lounge. Now, Days Inn is located, centrally located, at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova in Anchorage, Alaska. For reservations, you need but to call their toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. Once again, their toll-free number is 1-800-325-2525. And tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails right here on KFAR Radio. Cliff, we were talking about some of your activities out on Badger Road. You want to expand on that? And by the way, didn't you attend college here at the University of Alaska?
I went in winter of 38 and 39 as a special student. I carried four subjects out at the university.
Were you working at that time?
Well, this is embarrassing. I studied many trades, and too often I ended up cooking. I'd even go out sometimes to like a mine or a logging outfit here in the interior. There was only one or two of them here, and they'd say, well, we'll have this, but if the cook gets sick, then you will take over. Well, that was that part of it, but after, well, the latter part of summer, they had a CC camp, and maybe many of you are familiar with the Conservation Corps that started out by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and so the young forest ranger from down in Oregon, from Oregon State, came up here and early in the summer, not long after we got here, and established a CC camp. I had to build the buildings and everything, and he could get anything practically. He had two or three assistant forest rangers. I believe Maury Smith was one of them for a while, and but they had planned on getting a professional cook, and so they, as far as the head of forestry outfit back east, where they said in Washington, D.C., you should be able to get an old cook around there and then train them to get by. And I think we had a 40-man camp normally with about 30 living there, but then they filled up the rest of the capacity with young, unemployed men that didn't have a job, and they had the privilege of eating in the camp and etc. Well, now, so, well, anyway, this Virgil Heath, this young forest ranger, he came out to our little wood cutting shack out on Badger Road out there about 6 miles, and he said, listen, Hayden, how about cooking for the CC camp this winter, and we're getting starting, and he said, I can't get anything from out of headquarters back in Washington, and these young fellows around here say that you can do it. Well, I said, I never cooked for a bunch of men like that, but I made a donut factory out of Oscar Nicholson's Ira II in Petersburg, and he gave me a different job the next year, but he said, won't you try it? And he said, but I said, I want to go to school. Well, he said, arrange your hours so you can slip away. And he said, we'll get a lot of help. So that is what I ended up doing. We called it the Chena Country Club. The old timers remember, maybe with fond memories and some not too fond, you know. But I finally arranged so that I found a few fellows that had helped Mama cooking at home or something, and they was anxious to get in and give a helping hand and make a success of the camp. And so I detailed myself to doing the baking and writing up the menus and ordering the groceries. And so from the time the camp was completed late in the fall until the 1st of April, well, that's what I done that first winter. And but as I say, then I went, as I say, I went to university as a special student. And how did the university impress me? Well, the first Sunday we were in Fairbanks, my group of eight, including me, took a notion we'd hike out to the university and look it over. Well, we got out there, and here was a fella in slouchy clothes going around working on the flowers and raking trash around the building, you know, this in the summertime there. And so he's noticed us walking around and staring, and we thought, this here Roads and Grounds man, why, that's what he really was. He came over and he said, boys, I'm Dr. Bunnell. Well, that meant nothing. Now he said, I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but I happen to be the president of the university. Now, I'd known some presidents of universities and small ones before, but I never did see them out doing the grounds work like that. So he said, I'll take time off from what I'm doing and show you through the school. And the buildings weren't too large. And I can remember the old wooden hall that they had there that the men lived in for their barracks. It was adequate, and that was all as necessary. And now he said, do any of you boys intend to go to school here this winter? Well, all of us but one, and one young man said, now look, I got through high school and I didn't flunk anything, but he said, I didn't consider myself an adequate student to go on to college. Dr. Bunnell said, let me tell you something, young man. If you just come to school and sit in class and behave yourself and listen and don't say a word, then enough will rub off on you that the government will be well paid for you to come to the university. So even that fellow went to school that winter. Now, that was Dr. Bunnell's attitude. Let's say, in those days, I believe that there was between 35, maybe 40, not that many in each class. And now, like that freshman class, I believe that the first year I was there was around 40. What? Another thing, High school fared a little better downtown. I think around 38 to 42, they had 42 students in class. Now, I got to add one other thing that impressed me was when school started, sure, I hung around and up and around the high school and the university, and the teachers impressed me very, very much. They'd come up here and they'd work for years, and you didn't want to be surprised if you met up with a couple of high school teachers out here working like at Circle Hot Springs and down another place was at Mount McKinley, or Denali as they call it. I even ran in good old Annabeth Rainey down in maybe down at Denali, and I know over Circle Hot Springs, and they didn't go out. I don't know whether they figured it would take too much of their payroll, and they stayed here year after year. Then the college professors was exceedingly good. Then most of them were fairly young, but there was like the anthropology teacher, Dr. Rainey, Frolic Rainey. Well, I tell you that he went on and he was really a very outstanding professor, but all of them, they were really good. And here you practically got individual attention in some of these classes. As Dr. Bunnell says, it'll rub off on you. Yeah, because they'd take time and explain to you. And
I think you can still get that at the University of Alaska, Cliff, especially in the School of Mineral Engineering. Let me just throw in a plug for the University of Alaska School of Mineral Engineering here.
Pardon?
Let me throw a plug in for the University of Alaska School of Mineral Engineering here. You can still get that treatment, that special treatment, especially in the Mining Extension Program. So go ahead. By the way, didn't you take a class with me in mining extension up at the university?
Oh, I tell you, I have about 20 certificates on those special classes. Yes, I have at least 20. I think I had one or two, and that was very not only enjoyable but enlightening, because that you went to all the trouble one time when this environmental stuff started up, getting people from both sides, and sometimes you'd have a person that was against the environmental issue and some from the other side, and they sat there and they're all gentlemen and kind of poke fun at one another a little bit, but you learned a great deal, and I really got a lot out of that class.
Cliff, I want to break for a minute to give a few sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
It's the greatest array of circus acts ever assembled, and it starts tomorrow at the Big Dipper Rice Arena Fairbanks. The all-new International Circus Royale. See three rings of world-class circus artists assembled in one gigantic indoor three-ring circus. See for the first time in Alaska the great Walendas on the high wire. See the stars of the Moscow Circus, Yuri Krasnov and Lubov Kisaryankova. See the internationally acclaimed Espana family, the first family of the trapeze. Plus elephants from India, tigers from Siberia, clowns, chimpanzees, ponies, dogs, acrobats. More excitement than your family can imagine, with no increase in ticket prices over last year. Buy your tickets now for the entire family at all Super Value stores, Seekins Ford and Baker booksellers. And don't forget, Saturday, 10:30 a.m. is the Super Value show. All seats $9 when bought in advance at Super Value stores. Good seats also available at Big Dipper Rice Arena. Don't miss the International Circus Royale starting tomorrow. Brought to you by Delta Airlines. Delta and the Delta Connection fly to over 250 cities worldwide with over 3,900 flights a day. At Delta, we love to fly and it shows. Sponsored by College Lions.
I want to do this, folks. This is one of my fun ads that I do here live. It's Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. They're located at 1916 South Cushman. And their phone number is 452-8211. Don't forget that information. You never know when it might be valuable in terms of silver ingots or other prizes here on Alaska Gold Trails. As many of you know, Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years, and it's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. And currently, Robbie Ginther is the general manager. There's a lot of good homespun thoughts about tip-top Chevrolet, but what I like to do is I like to do one of Robbie Ginther's TV ads here. It gives me great pleasure to run it off to you. And here's what Robbie says. When you see him on television, Robbie says, "You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest-working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape, with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrac shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop over and take a look. And don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet." That's Tip Top Chevrolet, folks, located at 1916 South Cushman. And their phone number, once again, 452-8211. And you might want to get that a portion of that ad down for the future. It just might pay off, if you know what I mean. And I just want to, since I just come back into town last night, I want to say hello to some of my friends. Bill and LaVon, Tufford over at B&L Pawn Shop, and of course, Killer. I want to say hello to Killer. I better say hello to Killer. You never know what might happen if I forget to say hello to Killer. And of course, hello, Holly. B&L Pawn at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFIR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money's a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, folks, keep this in mind. Ask Killer. You just never know about that chandelier. That's B&L Pawn Shop, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. They're open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. I had one interesting event occur while I was gone. My wife took her car over to Gabe's Truck and Auto to get her annual inspection so that she could get her license. And I want you to know that Gabe's Truck and Auto has been servicing the Madonna family cars for a great many years, long before Alaska Gold Trails was ever initiated. And we've had excellent service from them all through the years. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or even a big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And we have to also bring into a point into focus here that Gabe's Truck and Auto has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, with that much attention, you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. Now, in addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mountain balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. And by the way, I talked a little bit about the IM inspection. As you, if you need an IM inspection, Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy, and I'm not so sure they weren't the people that originated that concept. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. And don't forget Gabe's Towing Service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. You might want to write that number down and put it in your glove compartment in case of an emergency. That's 456-6156. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. Precisely, that's 2058 Donald Road, or give them a call at 456-6156.
Whether you want to kick back in the outback or simply assault the urban jungle, do it in an Isuzu Trooper. The versatile Trooper is designed to let you and four of your closest friends rough it in total comfort. This 4x4 has what it takes. Lots of room for all your camping gear or your work materials. See the 89 Isuzu Trooper now at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman, and get ready to take the less traveled roads.
Cliff, tell us about how a little romantic adventure here.
Well,
what about Oria?
That would take, but I have something else that impressed me very much when I came here was, you know, how good the businessmen treat you, not only the businessmen, but everybody. But if you want a little business, so in 1940, when I flew in from the 40-mile country of working out there in Upper Wade Creek, why, the next day I went to work for the Department of Defense or old Ladd Air Force Base, and I said, I think maybe I'll stay another year or two, and I need a little transportation. So I looked around, and there's a car manufacturer I dealt with a great deal down in the States. Well, I walked down the street. I didn't have to walk too far in those days. And I walked in, and I asked him, I said, how much the pickup run? Well, the one I chose, they said, now that cost $1,000 laid down in Valdez. And managers, there's a man and his brother-in-law own this outfit, and I said, hey, just a minute, early last spring, an old sourdough that had made some money contacted us from Seattle and said that he's bringing a young relative up and they wanted to spend the summer driving around in the roads that they had in Alaska, and they need to pick up, and he'd pick it up in Valdez. And now that the summer's over, well, he wants to sell it. And he has a lot of extras, and he took good care of it, and it's like new, and he has a couple of spare tires and tools and everything, and he'd sell it for $1,000. And I said, fine, and so they called a man up, and he brought this blue pickup over there, a nice blue shiny pickup, and so I hand him $1,000, and by golly's, a young man ran over to me, and he said, say, Hayden, he knew me by name, everybody by then did, you know, and now he said, I've talked to my father and my uncle, and I want to get into business and make a little money of my own. These other guys, they get out and do this and that, and I think he wasn't over about a freshman in high school, but anyway, his name wasn't Robbie, it was Bobby.
It was Bobby.
Right.
Bobby who?
Ginther.
It was, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's quite a testimonial, huh?
But that is the truth. He'd have it ready for me in the mornings, and he took it into the garage when they was through at night, and he had about six or eight of us that he looked after and had it in warm storage in the morning. He'd get them out and check the oil and the gas and make certain everything was in good condition.
Well, how do you like that, Robbie? A little history from the past. I know what
Robbie, no.
Well, I'm just giving Robbie the message here.
Bobby.
It was Bobby, Robbie. And
he has always been a shy little individual as far as I was concerned. But, very, very nice to me.
A family business through the years. Is that right, Cliff?
Pardon?
A family business through the years.
That's right.
Okay, Cliff. Thank you very much for being with me today on Alaska Gold Trails. I'm sorry that the time has run out. It looks like you and I are going to have another session here.
To get me out of Fairbanks?
Yeah, we got to get you doing something here. We haven't traveled very far. It's a slow but interesting journey. Folks, I want to take a moment on all our behalf to thank Cliff Hayden for joining us here this afternoon. And I want to thank you for joining us and participating in our contest. And I'll be back next week at 1 o'clock with Alaska Gold Trails. And I want you to know it's been a great deal of fun. I'm glad to be back in Fairbanks. And this is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, my friends, happy prospecting. You're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska. Stay tuned for news coming up in just 2 seconds at 2 p.m.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Walker. ABC News has learned a key figure in the housing department scandal is willing to testify under oath if she can work out a deal for immunity with a committee looking into HUD's widespread misuse of funds. ABC's Bill Greenwood has the story.
Deborah Gore Dean served as executive assistant to HUD Secretary Samuel Pierce. And sources tell ABC News since she was first subpoenaed in connection with the multi-billion dollar HUD scandal, her attorneys have been negotiating for her immunity from prosecution. Business Week magazine will report in next week's edition that Gore is prepared to tell Congress Secretary Pierce was far more involved in the scandal than he has admitted. The magazine says Pierce's top aide is prepared to say her improper award of HUD grants came under the direct orders of Secretary Pierce. Pierce has sworn he left those decisions up to his assistant. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
The Government Operations Committee opens hearings in the HUD scandal tomorrow morning. And I'll have more news after this.
AT&T, may I help you?
I'd like to make a collect call from Tracy.
Sure, I can.
I have my AT&T card, but I've heard that if someone really loves you, he'll accept a collect call from you.
I see.
It's okay if he doesn't.
Hello?
AT&T, collect call from Tracy. Will you accept charges?
Well, sure.
There you go, Tracy. And thanks for using AT&T.
Trace!
Whenever you need a helping hand, you can count on AT&T. We take you right there and keep you this close. AT&T, the right choice.
This is a true story.
We were taking a short cruise. We were in our cabin. All of a sudden, we realized our checks were gone. So I called American Express. I told my sad story. But she said, when your ship docks, we'll have somebody greet you. We do this all the time. Somebody who's going to meet us to give me some checks. That made our vacation.
Don't let anything interrupt your vacation, not even a refund. Only American Express.